Amen. 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 I am excited. I know some of you like, man, when are you not excited? You know, I am excited when I ain't even started preaching yet, and I'm already sweating. Come on, y'all. Hey, man, I'm super excited because, man, my mommy and daddy are in the house. Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't want to embarrass them, and I usually don't do this, but I'm going to ask my mom and dad to stand up, and I just want to honor my parents. Would you stand up? Come on, listen, can we give them a hand? I love my parents. My parents are my heroes. My dad told me, you better preach it this morning. My dad has been a pastor. Both my parents have been in ministry and have pastored for close to, I think, 37 years. And I get to follow along in that journey. My mom is an amazing nurse who gets to love on people and breathe life into them. And so I'm just so honored by my parents. I love them to life. My mama came and cooked a traditional African dish called sadza. If you don't know it, go to my Instagram, shameless plug. I'll post it up there. So I am filled with sadza, okay? So that means I got that energy today, you know what I mean? Amen, amen. Hey, we are continuing in our series that we've entitled Made for More. And I am excited about what God is doing this, even the way that you have been responding to this word. Today, I want us to shift from more volunteers to more masterpieces. For more volunteers to more masterpieces. And so as I was thinking about the sermon this week, and I'm trying to think through, hey, what is a good story? There's a story which always comes to mind, which I love, and I want to share it with you this morning. It's about a bagpiper. I bet you never thought you'd come to church and hear a story about a bagpiper. It's about a bagpiper and who played at a funeral. This is the way the story goes. It says, as a bagpiper, I was asked by a funeral director to play at the graveside service for a homeless man with no family or friends. The funeral was to be held at a cemetery in the backcountry. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost, and being a typical man, I didn't stop for directions. All the ladies said amen. I finally arrived an hour late. I saw the backhoe and the crew. The funeral guy had evidently gone, and the diggers were eating lunch, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. I felt badly about this. I apologized to the man for being late. I went to the side of the grave and looked down. The vault lid was already in place. I started to play, and the workers gathered around. I played out my heart and my soul for this homeless man. As I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. I began to weep. I played like I had never played before. Then I finished and started for my car. My heart was full because I played my best. As I opened the door, I heard one of the workers say, "Man, that was really moving. I ain't never seen anything like that. And I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years." Man, I tell you what, I love that story. I love that story. Because every time I say it, man, I kid you not, I laugh. But what's really unique about this story is I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, man, this would be a great story to share with you guys. Is that, like, I want you to think about this guy, right? Like he wanted to utilize his gift to the best of his ability. It didn't matter if he was going to play the bagpipes for 1,000 people. I don't know 1,000 people which would come and listen to bagpipes. Maybe, I don't know, in Ireland or something. But he wanted to play his heart out. It didn't matter that he was called to this moment. He wanted to serve with all his heart at this funeral for this man with no accolades. And unknowns to him, he ended up still giving that same effort and that same gift to a septic tank and some plumbers. Oh man, this story is so beautiful because he knew who he was and the gift that he had inside of him. And I think as we're thinking about this series about made for more, we have to then ask that question of ourselves. Are we using the gifts and the talents to the fullness of the glory of God? Right? Are we using the gifts and talents that God has given us to the fullness and the glory of God the Father? Last week, if you remember, we talked about making the shift from more effort to more Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is more. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, brings us into this cosmic picture of like saying, hey, listen, this is what Christ has done. He has conquered death and the grave. All sin has been vanquished. So this is what it means, that all authority has been given to Jesus. That he's been given a name above every name. That at his name, every knee will bow. That he has been given all authority and all power, not just now, but in the age to come. And then Paul, with this amazing notification that he gives us, then shifts. He says, guess what, though? We are the body, the church, who is connected to God. So what this means is, if God is the head, then everything that the head receives, we get to receive the benefits of the head as his body. That means everything is under our feet because of what Christ has done. This is the beautiful picture that we see here in the scriptures. And then now Paul is shifting our attention here in Ephesians 2. He says, so now what does this look like for us? If we've been commissioned by the God who has been given Jesus all authority to fill all things everywhere at every time to be a mobilizing force, then we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Filling every nook and cranny of creation, right? With who we are. The fullness of Jesus is represented in us who are his agents. Called to reflect Jesus everywhere we go. Everywhere at all times. This is that beautiful picture. But before we can do that, if we understand who Jesus is and that he is more, for us to really operate in that, we have to understand who we are made to be. Who God has made us to be. And this is what I want us to understand this morning. We are God's masterpieces made for a master plan. We are God's masterpieces made for a master plan. What we see is that Paul is saying that in Christ, he has done it. It's been finished. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he didn't say, and then there's going to be a little bit more after that. No, it is finished in Greek, Hebrew, Latin, in Ebonics. It's done. Like, listen, right? It is finished. It's done. There's no more to it. And so that if God has done this for us, that means that the decay of sin and brokenness in the world now starts to be rolled back. And God is at work restoring all these things everywhere. And he is calling us and inviting us to partner with him. Because it is done, we can now live by grace. That is the moreness of Jesus. He now gives us the grace to live this out. This is what this means for us, that we are not just saved from something. Here we are, church, that we are saved to something. To be God's masterpieces. The only way that we can live that reality is that we have to understand who we are and how we are uniquely designed to a one-of-a-kind mission for more. Right? And so another way to say that is that we have to understand our identity over gift watching. Oh, you know, gift watching. How many of you guys have siblings here, right? Anybody siblings? Okay, just a couple in the first service, a lot of people. How many got kids here? Okay, a few more. Like, here it is. Do you remember, for some of you guys with your only child, God bless you. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were looking forward to that present, right? And it came around Christmas time and you were like, yes, finally I get to open this present. And then you got it. And for some of us, again, which aren't only children, we would be opening our present and we were so excited. And then we would look over at our siblings on the other side. And they think, I got what I wanted, but man, maybe theirs is better. See, I really believe that in the church, we tend to do this. We tend to miss out on what God is doing in our lives. That plan, that beautiful master plan that he has for you who are his masterpieces. Because we're too busy trying to gift watch. What are they doing over there on the side? Right? Like we want to grab. And what we find is that when we do that, we find ourselves in competition with one another instead of complimenting one another. See, what we do is that we allow the insecurities that start to grow in us, and we say things like, man, I'm not good enough. Man, I'm not too good in this. And maybe when I graduate, maybe when I get a little bit better, I can get there. I mean, I don't know the Bible like Pastor Elijah or Pastor Chad or Andy Wong over there, who's not only a doctor, but he knows apologetics. And he's not only knows apologetics, man, but this man is gifted. He runs, man. That guy is awesome, and he's an elder in our church. And we're like, I'm not like him. Like, he's got it. He knows the scriptures. When I grow up in our faith, and what we do is that we enter into this mode of like, we're going to give it to specialists. Yeah. Those people which get to be on the stage, right? Like, my gift is not as good, right? I can't sing like Joel. So I'm not gonna enter into this mode, this race, because Joel goes up here and he crushes it. But like for me, like, what can I do? And what we actually do is we actually bottleneck the movement of God. See, because here's the thing, right? If God is filling all things everywhere, right, all the time, and he's using us to be that fulfillment in the earth, to be his agents where people get to see Jesus, if we say only you can do it, only you few can do it, what we actually do is we bottleneck the movement of God. And so this amazing army of believers which are sitting here, which are being gifted, which are masterpieces of God, which have been commissioned to do good works because of what Christ has done, we actually bottleneck the movement of God. And so a couple of us can only do a couple of things, but what does it look like when all of us are doing everything that God has commissioned us to do? See, that's a different dynamic. That's a different change. And we hinder the movement of what God wants to do. We hinder the progress of what God wants to do in the earth. Let's see. When we understand our identities in Christ, that you are a masterpiece built by a master builder for a unique, one-of-a-kind master plan, individually and corporately, what we see is that we will be fruitful in whatever setting we are in. Ooh, I don't care if y'all like that. I'm gonna say that again. Come on, y'all. When we understand our identities in Christ, that you are a masterpiece built by a master builder for a unique, one-of-a-kind master plan, individually and corporately as the church, what we see is that we will be fruitful in whatever sphere and setting that we are in. So this is part of the reason why we're talking about this. That's right, you can clap. It's good stuff. See, this is the reason why we're talking about this shift, right? This shift from volunteers to masterpieces, because we have to make sure that we understand that in God's economy, there is no junior varsity Holy Spirit. okay? Right? Like, you don't get to graduate from junior varsity to varsity. In God's economy, right, that we are all called to be the fullness of Jesus, that the same Spirit, the Bible says, that rose Jesus from the grave resides in you. That is the beauty of the gospel. That is what is in work in you. So then why would we come into these spaces and sit down with all the gifts that are here and just watch a couple of people utilize their gifts? That is a broken picture. And I think and I believe part of the reason why the world is in such disarray is because we only have a few people in the church operating in the space that God has called us to, while everybody else is just sitting idly by, gift watching. Man, watching to see, right? Like, oh man, when I get there. Man, being a watcher is not the place that God has called us to be. Man, I tell you what, like watching will get you in trouble. I love to lift weights. As you can tell, I've been in CrossFit lately. Y'all see the... Y'all like, but the belly though. I've been, but I love to lift weights. I lifted all my life. I got to play ball and stuff like that. And when I get to the gym, this is where it gets me in trouble, when I start watching. Because man, when I get to the gym, right, I like to, you know, I'm like, all right, this is my plan. I know what I'm gonna do, Elijah, you know. And so like, you know, I'm not young anymore. So like, you know, just put the weight on, just do the work. And then I start doing the work. I'm not feeling good, yeah. And then I look over to the side. And there's this guy who's a couple years younger than me. And he looks like he just came out of an Arnold Schwarzenegger. He just yoked up, you know. And I'm looking at him. And he's not even paying attention to me. You know, he's got his Beats by Dre or something on. And he's, you know, he's just in his space. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. He put, see the weight that he's doing. Oh, this man is challenging me. This man ain't even paying attention to me, but you know what? I was like, not today, Satan. I get more weight and I put it on that thing. And then I get on the way and I'm just like, oh, somebody come and help me. Here it is. Watch this. We do that in the church. See, God is calling us to run our race. We're too busy trying to run other people's races. We're too busy trying to put other people's weight on. And when God has called you to be a unique, gifted person in his plan, according to the gifts that he's given you. And we're so caught up trying to do what everybody else is doing. And when we would do what God has called us to do, we would see that there's so much more. There's so much more, right? That God is raising us to be so much more. But we're the ones which actually puts limits on ourselves. Another way to say this is that Paul is actually trying to get our hearts and minds to shift, right? To shift, that when we understand our gifts, when we understand our identity, when we understand who God has called us to be, right, his representatives in the earth that would be reflect Jesus everywhere we go, that God, the way that God had originally intended for humanity, Paul here is arguing for us to reset the clock. Is arguing for us to reset the clock. And so this is the way he's arguing for us. That if Jesus is more, let's not think in a limited way. If Jesus is more and he is the head, that means as the body, we are more. We're made to be more. We talked about this last week, right? We're the hands and feet of Jesus, filling everything everywhere, right? By the way that we engage. So guess what? Let's talk about it practically now. How does that work? That means, hey, if you are here and you are at some Fortune 500 company, you're at the top of the ladder. That doesn't define you. Jesus defines you because you belong to Jesus. Because if Jesus is more, then you are more. See, the problem is that we allow titles and things to define us, and then we operate in a worldly manner, right?
But when we understand who we are and whose we are, the gift that God has called us to be, what it means is that when we get there, right, that I am made to be more, that the space that I am is made to be filled with Jesus, because where I go, Jesus goes, right? That means that all authority which has been given to Jesus has been given to me. So if I step into this place, right, demons have to fall down and be obedient to the power and the glory of God the Father. Right? That means the way that I speak has to be obedient to God the Father. That means in the way that I engage in the world, that I don't get to engage in my workspace and just hang up Jesus when I walk in through the door. And then pick him out conveniently when I walk back out. And we got too many believers that when they leave the space, this is the only time that they say, I'm going with Jesus. And Jesus is saying that the God of all heavens who has been given all power and all authority, let me tell you something, you can't hang that Jesus up. And if you're going places where you can hang that Jesus, maybe that Jesus isn't with you. See, we are called to be in that space, to be a reflection of God, to be a picture of God, to be the fullness of God in that space. And to those, that may be working a job. That is maybe the one that you don't want. Right? Like you're not happy to be there. You're kind of going here because it's a process. See, we then, when we are made to be more, we then rethink what that actually looks like. We rethink what that looks like. That means everything that my hand touches, right, because I am a representative of Jesus, means that I have to give my full attention and energy. When people are talking crazy about the boss, when people are slacking, when people not working, that means, no, I don't get to engage in that because those things are counter to the good news of who Jesus is, and they do not represent Jesus well. That means I work hard. I serve with all my heart. I am joyful when people are negative, because this is the way of Jesus. This is how we actually are more. And you know what happens in those spaces when we do stuff like that? People, while they're grumbling and complaining because, man, this is not the greatest job in the world, they come to you and say, what is up with you? Why are you so different? This ain't the greatest thing. Why do you come in here? And you get the opportunity to say, guess what? Because my Jesus is more. God has made me to be more. So everywhere I touch is heaven. Everywhere that I move is heaven. And so in this place, what you're seeing ain't me, it's Jesus. That is the moreness that Jesus is inviting us into. The problem is, again, is that we pick and choose when to be in that moreness. You ever been around those people which you'll ask the question, hey, how you doing? Oh, I hear them all the time. Oh, Pastor, oh, I'm blessed and highly flavored. I'm living in the overflow. And let you cut them off in traffic. And they not waving holy hands, if you get what I'm saying. And you're like, man, I don't know what overflow that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing, right? Because what's inside is coming out. And if you have more Jesus, if you have more love, if you have more appreciation for the God who has been given all authority and all power, and who his rule is not just in this age, but in the age to come, then the moreness that we exhibit, even when we are going through our day, manifests itself. See, when we are doing that and we understand the type of masterpieces that we are, that means that not just in our workplace, but the way that we engage with our neighbors changes. That we are actually intentional, that we're not just, hey, we see the neighbors, hey, let's close the door because, you know, I don't want to talk to them, but we're actually engaging with them. Can I give you another one? How many here frequent a coffee shop every morning on your way to work? What if on your way to frequent that coffee shop, we started praying for that barista that we engage with? And then they get to experience the more. How many go to the same grocery store most of the time and you see the same furry faces working? Maybe as we go to the grocery store, right, we start praying and we start frequenting the same cashier and we start loving on them, and then they experience the more of Jesus. Maybe sometimes you drive by the same person who is struggling at home, right? Homeless. And we maybe instead of just driving by, maybe we just start making a little peanut butter and jelly, right? And we get some drinks and we start being intentional in engaging them. Because if God has made us a masterpiece and all of his creations are a masterpiece, that means that person has value and worth. And how shameful is it as believers of the gospel that we would just drive on by without even noticing God's creation? Because we have been made for more. We are his masterpieces, built by the master builder for a unique, one-of-a-kind master plan. What is the lane that God has called you to run for him? It takes intentionality. It takes engaging. It takes loving. And when we are just volunteers, what we actually do is we just come and sit in seats and check off the box. And we say, you specialists, you get it. You do it. And then I'll just move on with my day. See, now God is saying that because I have given you this gift, you are now responsible. You are now responsible. You are my ambassador, my representative in this world to be more. And when you love and live and lead like Jesus, what happens is that we engage in the unique spaces in this world in such a beautiful way that heaven and earth collide. It is different. It is different. That moreness of Jesus is different. Look at the moreness that Jesus is calling us to in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. I love this. I'll read it to you here. It says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Woo! I'm going to stop right there. Love your enemies. What does that mean? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. What does that mean? See, that's a different, that's a moreness that is not natural to the world. See, you guys can hear that, and I bet you'll start clapping. You're like, yeah, I believe in that. But you know who's our enemy right now? Russia. How do we love on them? How do we pray for them? See, it's easy when it's nameless and faceless. But when it is floating in your existence, Jesus is giving us this picture, right, to how to be truly human, to live in the moreness that God has given. He says, love your enemies, do good for those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, say, not today. No, it says, turn them to the other side. God's working on me, y'all. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is a different type of way to be in the world. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, because what Christ has done, who is more, we get to be more in the world. By grace, we get to be more in the world. That's counter to culture. In a world that's tug and pull, that is trying to get up the social ladder, right? That wants individualism. This is different. This is gospel love. This masterpiece that God has made, you who are masterpieces that God has made, is counter to culture, is counter to the way of the world. So for us, here it is. we have to shift from more volunteers to more masterpieces. We have to shift from more volunteers to more masterpieces. See, here it is. More volunteers say, where can I sign up for opportunities that may or not interest me or my passions? Here it is, guys. This is actually the easiest way to burn out. I remember somebody who was a part of my church. They literally volunteered once a month. And they said, man, I'm getting burnt out. I was like, man, what's wrong with you? Come on now. Let me not pray for you right here. Right? Because guess what happens, guys? Right? Like we get burnt out because that's not who God has called us uniquely to be. That's volunteerism. But here's the response. More masterpieces say, how has God uniquely designed me and called me to live out this one-of-a-kind master plan? More volunteers say, where are all the church programs? More masterpieces say, the ministry of the church is all the people of God activated in their unique masterpiece missions, revealing the fullness of Jesus. More volunteers says, the primary place for ministry is at our building. Come and join us. More masterpieces says, the primary place for ministry is in every corner of culture and in every sphere of society. The direction of our church is go and be present wherever God has placed you. God has uniquely made you for where you are at now. And it may not be where you want to end up, but this is where you are now. And if you understand who you are, your identity, then God will use you in your sphere to do and accomplish his kingdom mission. One of my favorite things to do, I wanted to support one of our elders, Sister Sharon here, and she is crushing it, y'all. Y'all know what Sharon does up in this mug. She was out here creating opportunities for people to get jobs. And I saw people coming from different walks of life, different ethnicities for this opportunity. She is using the gift that God has called her as a masterpiece to do what? Further the kingdom. Where has God placed you? Where is he using you? Is it at your work? Is it at your job? Where is it at your work? Is it with your friends? Is it with your families? All those places. But when we understand who we are and whose we are, we're not busy gazing, trying to see who's doing what, and we're just running our race, knowing the plan that God has for us is so much bigger than we could even fathom or imagine. That we are unique. That we are his. For our church community, God is calling us to shift. I love this Made for More series because I got to engage with the book Made for More, and it has different people that attribute this book. And Leon Scrump gives this picture, this 5-point picture. And this is actually where we're going as a church. That we want to distinguish discipleship from development. See, instead of us just giving, discipleship is helping you to develop your character to become like Christ. Development is helping you to discover your calling and living it out. We want to do both, but we want to identify and design those lanes for you to run in. So engage. We want to distinguish between Bible knowledge and biblical worldview. See, instead of just giving you Bible knowledge, we can give you all types of Bible studies on Romans till your Romans out the ear. But if you're not living the principles that God has given in Romans, what does it matter? See, we want to equip you to let the Bible inform the way that you see all things that function in the world. That's why we want to show you how to engage with the scriptures. We want you to get you in groups. If you haven't signed up, get in a group. There's 15 groups that are active in our church. There's over 139 people in our church that are active in our group. That's only 51% of our church. We want to get you in groups. See, we don't want you just to jump into surface meetings that are just volunteers. Hey, I'm just doing this because I'm a part of the church and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But no, we want to create spaces where we can develop the ministry gift in your heart that God has called you to so that you can be more. That's why we are developing. That's why we moved from a church with groups to being a church of groups. We want to unleash you to be the more. You know what? I want to hear a story. I want somebody to run up me one Sunday and say, Pastor Elijah, guess what? I have a group going and there's nobody in from the church, which is a part of my group. And none of them believe in Jesus. Can you imagine that? And I get to develop them. I get to disciple them. And one day I'm going to come up here and I'm going to baptize them. That's what I want to hear. That is a shift from volunteers to masterpieces. Hey, man, we're going to challenge you in this church with audacious kingdom vision. I can't wait till September, y'all. I can't wait till September so that you can hear what is cooking behind the scenes, because I'm telling you, what God has got for us is crazy. It is audacious. And the reason why we're going to hit you with audacious kingdom vision, because we're going to cast vision so audacious, so big that it pushes beyond the needs of just running the church towards the dream of filling God's kingdom mission. But God has got so much for us that is coming in this new future. And as always, we're going to preach the unadulterated, unfiltered gospel truth. That the gospel is not a message, it's not just a message of personal salvation, but is the total cosmic reorienting of all things. But this is what you have to understand. You are called to be more. You are a masterpiece made by a master builder for a unique one-of-a-kind called master plan. Here it is. God has called you. God has equipped you. You have all the gifts inside of you. How do we move in that space? How do we lean in that space? How do we walk in that space? When you go home this week, I want you to think about it. God, what is the race that you call me? Who am I ignoring? How can I be more in my work, with my neighbors, with my friends, with the barista that I frequent? How can I be more? I want us to think that question. God is transitioning us. Would you stand with me even as we pray and go into worship?